Well, hey, girl church. Y'all doing good tonight? Ready for a word tonight from the Lord? All right. Did anybody happen to bring their Bible tonight? All right. If not, it glows. I know y'all have one of those, so you guys can get ready with that. But again, I do want to thank Brittany Wright for the invitation and opportunity to come share tonight as well as this morning. I had a blast preaching this morning, and I hope y'all enjoyed that. And if you missed it, you can go back and grab that message like they said. And I also want to say from the top here, if you do not have a church home or you are looking for one, guess what? You found one. And so don't look any further. This is good ground. This is a fantastic church to be a part of, to plug into, to serve, give, connect, be a part of the local church. I told Brittany this morning when I was walking around here, I said, I love the local church. Jesus established the church. We are the bride of Christ. So I love that we get to be a part of the body of Christ no matter where we are in the world. And so right here in Kansas City, this is an awesome place to be in Lee's Summit. So connect. If you're looking for one, you found one. Now, this morning I mentioned that Mike and I, we live in Clarksville, Tennessee, and we pastor a church there called Life Point Church. We've been there for 15 years. And I shared a little bit about our church and our context there. But tonight I wanted to share a little bit about my family with you guys. And so Mike and I, we've been married for 23 years, and we have four daughters. So I think there might be a picture if they can find that and just share. Oh, can you see it? Okay. So these are my four daughters and my husband. We're kind of all crowded on the couch there. But my oldest daughter, Lucy, is sitting right next to me. She's kind of in the orange shirt. She just moved away for college in August, and I haven't seen her since she moved away. But she's coming home for fall break in 3 days. So I'm very excited about that. Yes. Now, don't get it wrong. We FaceTime like every day, and we talk on the phone. But it's going to be different to give her a hug. So Lucy, she's studying accounting. She's my little math nerd, and I tell her to nerd on because nerds rule the world. So anyway, she loves numbers. She's my outgoing one, so I'm very excited to see Lucy. And I will say that grief of moving her in, that's a real thing because it changes the dynamic in the house. And now, even though you're like, well, you got three other girls, yes, but it's different. They're all so unique. It's so wonderful in so many ways. And so that's been, it's been a little clunky. Everyone at church is like, how's it been? I'm like, I didn't know how to explain. It's not bad. It's not wrong. It's just off. You know what I'm saying? But it's good. It's a good growth part of our lives. And I know it's right. She's fulfilling God's call for her life to go study a couple states away. So it's good for all of us. And we're excited to see her. And then just next to her is Julia with the long, straight brown hair. Julia is my 16-year-old. She is a junior. So my Julia junior this year. And she's my strong one. She's witty. She knows what she believes. And she's going to tell you what she believes and what she thinks. So I love Julia. She's so much fun to be around. And then next to her, right in front of my husband, on the left is Hallie. She's in the pink dress. She's my third born. She's 13. And she's my third born, so that means she's my fun one, right? Isn't the third born always the fun one? And so she likes to be organized, and she's a doer. She never sits still. She's always doing something. She likes to get things done. I call her my Hallie helper because she's always helping me do something. One time I came home, and I was working. I came home. She goes, guess what I did today, Mom? I said, what? This is like in the summertime. She said, I moved all your silverware, and I put it in this drawer, and then I moved all the pot holders, and I put it in that drawer. And I was like, wait, you did what? She goes, I just thought it'd be a better system. And you know, in your kitchen, you got a rhythm, and I was all mixed up. But she loved it. I was like, okay. She's my organizer. And then the last one on the far right is Brooklyn. She's 11, and she's our fourth born. She is my funny one, let me tell you. She asked me a couple years ago, Mom, can girls be comedians? And I was like, yes, girls can be comedians. She's like, okay, good. And so she's currently also writing a book called Common Sense. She's just funny. She just always has these little statements. And she goes, no, it's not a kid book. It's like for everybody. I was like, okay, write it, girl. but she's probably, she is also a strong one. She's probably going to run a company one day. I am hopeful for that. So anyways, those are my four girls. I just wanted to share a little bit about them. And I am grateful for each one of them. I shared this morning that, you know, parenting is the hardest thing we'll ever do. And it's the most rewarding thing that we'll ever do. There are days where people are like, how is it being in ministry and pastoring and all these things? And I'm like, it's great, but it's nothing like parenting. You know, parenting has so many challenges and we're pulled in so many directions, but God gives us the grace for the season that we're in, every season along the way, to be the mom, the parent that God has called us to be. So It's funny, with all these girls, and you know, three of them are teenagers and one's sixth graders, there's a lot of hormones in my house right now, I will say that. I would be lying if I didn't say that. And it's funny, I remember when I was pregnant with our fourth, and people would see our family, and they'd see three girls and me pregnant with a fourth, and they'd go, say it's a boy. And I'm like, it's another girl. And people would apologize. They would say, oh, I'm so sorry. And I told Mike, I said, listen, I said, God gets to pick this, not me. And so I'm blessed. I don't care if God gives us 25 girls, right? Like, I'm grateful for the four girls that he's given us. And Lord willing, one day we will have four sons-in-law. And who knows, maybe a dozen grandbaby boys. So we'll see how it all turns out. But okay, so tonight, since we're here, we got the Bible, we are going to jump in, and I have a few simple thoughts that I wanted to share with you on the topic of trust, on the topic of trust. Now, this morning, I spoke on the topic of resting in God, but tonight, we're going to talk about trusting in God. So that is the title of my message, if you're taking notes, Trust in God. So I have a question for you. Have you ever stepped out to trust someone in a situation, and it worked out? Like, it turned out to be what you thought it was going to be. For example, a couple months ago, there was a staff member, Natalie, who was going on a missions trip with another church from Minnesota. And I said, well, let me go with you. It was to connect with Free International. Do you guys, I don't know if y'all know who Free International is here. It's a ministry out of Las Vegas, and they work on anti-human trafficking efforts. They are in Vegas. And, I mean, they are in the thick of Sin City doing God's work, and it's amazing. And so Natalie and I went on this trip with another church, and she's like, yeah, they booked everything. They did this. We're going to go with them here. They're going to provide transportation, the hotel, all these things. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, do you have all the details arranged? Because that's a big deal to go do all this missions work in another city. And she said, oh, yeah, it'll be great. So we trusted that this other church had all these things lined up, and we went on the trip, and sure enough, it panned out. Like, everything went well. They said they were going to be where they were going to be. We met them on time. They got us from the airport, all the things. And it worked out well. And in fact, we feel that God really had orchestrated that trip and built some really cool friendships and relationships. By the way, I just want to say Free International is an awesome missions organization. Literally, we were out there searching on the streets in Vegas in some very sketchy places for missing children. Most of them were missing teenagers. I mean, just going business to business in these sketchy areas. And just asking, have you seen this person? Have you seen this person? And we were like in plain clothes with like bright colored items. We weren't hiding. They said, we want you to be obvious. We don't want them to think you're police, right? And like undercover. So they said, just be obvious and ask. And so I do want to just share, like, to God be the glory. After we left with the intel that we gave and the help of law enforcement, seven of those teens were actually found, which is amazing. Yes, you can praise God for that. Okay, so my question was, did you ever step out to trust someone in a situation and it worked out? Yes. So that's an example of yes. The whole trip was amazing. God did cool things. Conversely, have you ever stepped out to trust somebody in a situation and it did not work out? Maybe a friend let you down, or someone said they were going to do something and they did something else. Maybe you relied on a person and they didn't hold up their end of the bargain, right? I think all of us can instantly think of a situation where that has happened to us. Well, I have good news for us tonight that there is one that we can trust always and every time, and he will never let us down, and that is God. God is trustworthy. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want you to understand that God is faithful. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, which tells me our God is trustworthy, which means he's worth trusting. We can put our trust in God. In other words, if God said it, you can believe it. That's why it's important that we read this thing so we know what he says, right? You know the song that goes, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail, right? All the little turns in there. Okay, all right, good. Now listen, that's easy to sing. It's easy to say. I love that song. Ah, that's like a jam right now. It's a great song. But it's a little harder to walk that out sometimes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's easy to say with our lips, but how are we going to live that out? So we're trusting God for something. How many times do we trust him for something, but then we get impatient with God? Or how many times do we get ahead of God? So I want to highlight a story in Exodus where we find the importance of trusting in God. So if you will, turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Now, just so you know where we are in the scriptures, in Exodus chapter 20, Moses just got the Ten Commandments. So we're not that far away from that event taking place. And I'm going to start reading here in chapter 24, starting right at verse 1. So if you have that, follow along. I'm going to read quite a bit tonight, but we're going to jump around a little bit. But Exodus chapter 24, starting in verse 1. Then he, God, said to Moses. Okay, so we need to know who's talking here. Do you ever read scripture sometimes and you're like, who's talking to who? Who is he? And what? Who are they? Okay, so let's figure it out. Then God said to Moses, he's giving some instructions. Come up to the Lord, you, Moses, Aaron is his brother, Nadab and Abihu, that's Aaron's sons. Okay, so we have a family situation here. Lord says, come up, God says to Moses, come up to the Lord, you, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. That's about, probably about the room and this, the amount of people we have in here. So it's a little crew of people. Verse 2, Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him. All right, so jump ahead to verse 9. So then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders, they go up. Listen to this, verse 10. And they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet. I want you to picture this. So they're looking at God. It says, under his feet. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. What that means is that God didn't harm them. There's a scripture that says man cannot see God. Like we cannot even be in his presence. He's so holy, right? He's so holy. And so you would kind of be smited, right? Or like we just do not have the capacity. But God says he did not lay his hand on them. And they beheld God and they ate and drank, which means they were refreshed in God's presence. Can you imagine this situation? You're standing before God. You are seeing him. He's allowing you to see him. There's sapphire under his feet. What color is sapphire? I couldn't remember. Blue. Can you imagine just stones under his feet? Just partaking, refreshing. What were they eating? Like, you know, there were amazing snacks tonight. Were they eating like a pumpkin bar? They ate and drank. So they had a moment with God. Verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and wait there that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction. So Moses rose with his assistant, Joshua. Everyone needs a good assistant. So Moses and Joshua went up into the mountain of God. Verse 14, and he said to the elders, this is very important, listen, wait here for us until we return to you. So what was the instruction? Wait here until we come back. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them. So who's in charge? Aaron and Hur. Are you guys tracking? Okay. So Moses is going up to the top. Joshua is going to assist him and be there for him. And Aaron and Hur are with the people. And if there's an issue, disturbance, whatever, they need to go to them. Verse 15, then Moses went up on the mountain. And so there he goes. And the cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. So the people of Israel are seeing a fire on the top of this mountain. Verse 18, so Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Wow, can you imagine? Okay, so Moses is up there. Now, I'm going to skim through the next couple chapters so you can lick your fingers. We're going to turn the pages here. And God talks to Moses about, I'm going to read the titles for each of these little sections or pericopes in scripture. It says, God talked to Moses about the contributions for the sanctuary and the Ark of the Covenant. And then after that, God talked to him about the table for bread and the golden lampstand, the tabernacle, the bronze altar, the court of the tabernacle, oil for the lamp, chapter 28. He talks about the priestly garments. He's downloading all this information to Moses. The priestly garments, how amazing. Listen, it says right there that Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, and their sons, they're going to be, if you look at verse 40 of 28, it says they're going to be ordained, anointed, and consecrated to be the priests. And they're going to have some bling to go with it. They're going to have coats, sashes, caps. They're going to have a whole situation here. And then in 29, God talks to Moses about the consecration of the priest, the altar of incense, the census tax, the bronze basin, anointing oil, and then Oholiab and Bezalel. These are artisans that are going to be doing stonework, leatherwork, carving. That's amazing. And then the Sabbath. God gives direction about the Sabbath on resting, and we talked about that this morning. Now, will you jump with me to chapter 31, verse 18? So God just went through all these topics, a lot of information. Verse 18 of chapter 31, it says, "And God gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God." Can you imagine? Now you're holding the tablets. The finger of God himself wrote information on a stone tablet. I mean, Moses, I don't even know how to describe what that would have been like because I've never seen God face to face. Anyone else seen him face to face here? Anyone? Okay. All right, one day we will. You guys, one day we will be face to face with the Lord. Okay, so Moses has this incredible encounter. And then at the start of chapter 32, watch what happens to Aaron and the Israelites. Remember the original command. Do you remember this? They were commanded, "Wait here for us until we return." Do you remember that part? So look at chapter 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't even know where he is. It says we don't know what's become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Okay, all right. We'll take off the rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives, sons, daughters, and bring them to me." And I wrote in my Bible right next to that, uh-oh. Verse 3, so all the people, oh no, took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And the people said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Oh no, oh no, how did this happen? How did this happen that the people of God make an idol, a golden calf? Aaron completely got ahead of God. Aaron did not trust that Moses was going to be returning and showed ultimately he didn't trust God. In fact, some of the of God's specific instruction to Moses was that Aaron and his sons were slated to be anointed and ordained as the priestly line with all those garments and all those things that we talked about. But Aaron didn't know that yet. All this information, he was part of the information that was coming. He didn't know that. Listen, God wants us to trust him and rely fully on him. When we seek the Lord, he does answer, and then often the answer is to wait. We don't mind the seeking part or the asking part, but it's the waiting part that's hard. We're really good at asking, "God, can you? God, would you? God, I'm begging you. God, please, 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 please," right? It's the waiting part that's hard. All right, so from this story, I just have three reasons that we don't trust the Lord. Three reasons that we don't trust the Lord. Number one, we are persuaded by others. We're persuaded by others. I truly believe that Aaron had good intention. Remember, we read in Exodus 24 that Aaron was one of the people on the mountain. He just had that amazing encounter with God with the sapphire under God's feet, and he ate and drank in God's presence. He had an incredible encounter with God. So what happened? He was persuaded by others. Look at Exodus 32:1 again. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed. It wasn't even Aaron's idea. It was the people's idea. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together and to Aaron and said to him, "Make us gods." It was the people that gathered themselves. And Aaron said, he leaned in and he listened. He allowed others to get in the way of him trusting in God, and then he took matters into his own hands. Listen, ladies, let's not be persuaded by the crowd. How many times do we have a word from God or a strong trust that God is going to come through, but then others come along and they persuade us otherwise? And sometimes that persuasion is subtle. Listen, people get us off track with God or what God has for us all the time. There's outside influences always around us, and we have to discern, is that the Lord speaking or is that other people? You know, the devil isn't super obvious sometimes. He's subtle. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't just show up with a pitchfork and say, I'm here. No, he persuades us through people. Don't let others have the loudest voice in your head. God needs to be the loudest voice in your head. Galatians 1:10, I love this verse. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Listen, you can't have it both ways. You can't fully please people and fully please God. It doesn't work that way. We're either going to please one or the other. That's what that scripture says. How about a social media? That's a place where it has such a loud voice in our lives. But social media and scrolling and news or whatever you're on your phone, because I know we all are. I even see my parents. I see older generations. We're on our phones all the time. Listen, many of us spend way too long watching the lives of other people. The average person in America spends 5 hours a day on their phone. That's one day a week, 6 days a month. That we're staring at a screen. And we're letting the phone give us influence. And I'm not talking about work. Sometimes my kids are like, Mom, you're on your phone a lot. I'm like, I'm working. Like, I'm texting or communicating with people about, like, jobs and responsibilities. But I'm talking about mindless, what do they call it? Like, just numb it. Like, you're just numbing yourself. You're scrolling. You're just watching stuff. Social media can have an influence. Family of origin. Listen, people even in our family can pull us away from God. We don't want to be rude or disrespectful to people in our family, but if they're not following what the Lord's telling us, we just need to be mindful. We're not going to follow that direction. Sometimes we have peer pressure. This is where other people influence us, and we're just afraid to stand up for the truth. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes we just don't have the guts to say what needs to be said, politely, of course. How about being seduced to look at things we shouldn't? Listen, the Bible says in James, we are lured away by our own temptations. There are things, ladies, on our phone we just don't need to look at. I'm going to say it. Sometimes we're harsh on the guys. Like, guys, watch your eyes. Ladies, we also need to guard our eyes. It's the window to our soul. What are we taking in? What are we allowing? So listen, there's people-pleasing is so tempting. And we have worked with many couples in pastoring over the years where a Christian is dating a non-believer and we tell them to break up. And they refuse because they don't want to hurt their feelings, right? You think it's hard when you're dating. Wait till you're married. It's going to be really hard. We say, break it up right now. That's not what God has for you. He doesn't want you to be unequally yoked. Listen, even moving to Clarksville to pastor our church was a huge risk. Listen, the church was in a terrible financial situation. We were $15,000 behind our first month as a church. I mean, it was a brand new building, no people. It was just a broken church that was mistrusting of leadership. And we came in, and everyone that we told about, we said, we're going to Clarksville to pastor a church. And we told them about it. They're like, ooh, I wouldn't go there. But listen, it looked bad on paper, and it was bad. I'm not going to lie. It was really bad. But God gave us a peace, and we had to trust him, not others. Because it would have been so easy to be like, yeah, you're right. That is a bad idea. We had to trust the Lord. So listen, that's our first point tonight. The first reason we don't trust the Lord is we are persuaded by others. Number two, the second reason we don't trust the Lord is that we don't like God's timing. We don't like God's timing. Listen, I'm preaching to myself tonight, okay? I don't have all this figured out. I am learning and growing just like all of us here. Listen, it was the people who didn't trust God's timing, and they griped to Aaron, and they were able to persuade the top leader to go against God's plan. They couldn't even wait 40 days to hear from God. It's not like Moses could send a text message. You know what I'm saying? There was no way to communicate down the mountain. They just had to wait. That was the direction. Wait here. That's it. Wait here. So they had no time frame. We read the Bible and we're like, oh, it's 40 days. But they couldn't even wait 40 days to hear from God. After 400 years in captivity and many years wandering in the desert, they couldn't wait 1 month and 10 days for God to speak. What were you doing 40 days ago? It's really not that long ago. 40 days ago was Tuesday, August 26th. 40 days ago, my daughter had just moved to college. 40 days ago, college football just started, and I love college football. Do you guys have a good college football team here? Yes? No? You have a pro team. That's next level. Okay. All right. 40 days ago, within the last 40 days, we've had national tragedies, assassination of Charlie Kirk, a lot happening in our culture just in the last few weeks. Within the last 40 days, my husband has since been to Africa and back, and we got to open a new church building over there, which was amazing. But listen, 40 days is not that long ago. 40 days from now is November 14th, and half of you guys are going to have your Christmas trees up, okay? So 40 days isn't that long. So not only did the people of Israel get impatient with God's timing, but they tried to create new gods and worship them instead of worshiping the one true God. They got impatient, and listen, we can pick on them all day long, but we also can get impatient. How often do we get frustrated or discouraged when God doesn't move at our pace? I want to remind all of us tonight that we don't run the show. God runs the show. Even today, we need to trust that we can go at God's pace. Maybe, I know in what we do, it's like we're discipling people. We want people to grow in the Lord, and we get impatient sometimes. Like, how come they just don't hurry up and change? Or with our children, like, let's hurry up and mature. Like, let's grow a little bit. Get it together, people. Like, how come it doesn't happen faster? What about when we pray for a miracle or healing for someone? We're like, God, like right now, like yesterday, can you do it? And yes, we want to pray and believe for that, but we're like, let's go now. So we need to go at God's pace. Years ago, right next to our church, there was a yellow farmhouse. And this yellow farmhouse came up for sale. And Mike went to the board, our board of trustees. They oversee our buildings, bylaws, and budgets, and they speak into all of that. And Mike said, I would love to purchase this property because it has the yellow farmhouse would be great for ministry. We can use it for housing people that are coming through, maybe missionaries, or we can use it for just a whole host of things, hosting people, outreach center. We could do a lot of things with this yellow house and this property, and it's property right next to our church. Great timing. Let's pay for it. Let's buy it. So he's in a board meeting. And one of the board members said, you know, I don't know about that. And Mike was like, what do you mean you don't know about that? Because Mike gets all excited about these things and what could be. And then another board member said, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like we need to wait on this. And so the way Mike operates with our board is that they don't do majority vote. They actually do unanimous. They only move forward when everybody's in agreement. So if someone's not in agreement, they just pause. They say, okay, we're not going to move forward with that right now. So Mike comes home that night. He's like, you're not going to believe this. The board doesn't want to buy the yellow house. And I was like, okay, why not? And they were like, I don't know. They just said they didn't feel good about it, you know? And the more they talked and prayed because they seek the Lord, they didn't feel good about the yellow house. And so Mike was frustrated. I'm just going to be honest. He was not happy about that. He's like, man, we could do ministry in there. We could be, like, you know, doing great things. And I'm not kidding you. 6 months later, a tornado comes through right next to our church, and that yellow house was blown to smithereens. There was a family that was living there. There was one mom and her baby huddled in the bathroom. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about this. Huddled in the bathroom. That was the only room left standing on that place. Talk about trusting God's timing. And Mike looked at me, and I mean, you know, he was so humbled. He said, okay, Lord, you win. Like, you were so right. And I'm so glad I listened to the board and we moved together at God's pace because I wanted that house. I wanted that for ministry. So that house, they bulldozed it because they had to restart all over. So someone else still owns it. It's not the yellow house anymore. It's the white house, and it's a farm chic house, whatever you call these beautiful little things they build. Anyways, but man, I'm so thankful that we stopped and we went at God's pace, even though we knew what we wanted. We had to do it at God's pace. Look at Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Listen, we have to wait on the Lord. I'm a like, let's get it done person. Any list makers here? I'm like, there's a lot to get done. Let's go. But we have to wait on the Lord because we will renew our strength. We will mount on wings like eagles. We will run and not be weary. We talked today about how to not be weary, but to rest. We will walk and not be faint. So let's wait on the Lord. All right, so our first point was the three reasons we don't trust the Lord is we're persuaded by others. The second one was we don't like God's timing. And the last one, number three, we just believe the lie of the enemy sometimes. We believe the lie of the enemy. Sometimes we begin to believe things, honestly, that aren't even true. Even things that aren't true about ourselves, but for some reason we grab onto them. We can get off in our thinking. For example, here's some lies, I'm just going to read them. Does God really like me? I mean, I know he loves me, but I've made too many mistakes. He doesn't like me. I'll never measure up. Hello, social media, comparison game. Listen, comparison is the thief of joy. It's not good for us as women. I struggle with it. Every time I get on, I'm like, oh, I should be doing this enough or that enough. You guys are talking about, like, there's always more we could do. Listen, get off that stuff. And just if you just have dinner with your family at night and get off the phones, we're going to have way more peace in our lives, okay? How about this lie? When I pray, he doesn't even hear me. It's just bouncing off the walls. How about this one? I feel defeated. Therefore, I am defeated. I feel alone in life. Therefore, I am alone. How about this one? Who do you think you are calling yourself a Christian? Look at your life. Look at your mistakes. The stuff right now you guys are thinking no one knows anything about that you've done or you've thought about. Look at your mistakes. Look at you wanting to grow in the things of God, disciple others. Maybe you're serving around here, working on the church staff, trying to develop leaders, trying to grow spiritually, and the enemy says, you've never even done this before. You're not equipped for that. You can't do this. Or the enemy says, who are you to stand on a stage and share? There's so many other people who are more qualified than you. Or maybe who do you think you are to share Christ with your neighbor, your friend at school, or start a Bible study at school, or lead a small group at church? You can't do that. You don't know enough. Does this sound familiar? Anybody else? Listen, we use the word of God to combat the lies of the enemy. Here's a lie that we often think, I don't trust God can really use me. Well, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says that a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. We all have gifts so that we can serve others. So the next time you think, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, I'm not equipped, yes, you can. The Bible says that we have been given gifts and talents to be a blessing to others. So listen, you are more than a conqueror. You are not alone. Psalm 116:2 says, he bends down to listen. I will pray as long as I have breath. That tells me God does hear our prayers. Amen? God says he will never leave you nor forsake you and always be with you. God says not to fear or be afraid. 365 times in the Bible says, God says, do not fear. God has good plans for you. Listen, in John 8:44, Jesus told his disciples, the devil does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So when the lie comes into our mind, we need to recognize that and say, that's a lie of the enemy. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean we only have happy thoughts and spiritual thoughts. No, no, this is spiritual warfare. We are battling for our minds all the time. The devil's going to lie to you constantly because he's the father of lies. That's why knowing the word is so important. Then we can spot a lie from the enemy instantly. When something comes in your mind, you're like, that's not right. You need to spot it. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life to the full. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. So listen, these 3 points tonight, when we are persuaded by others, when we get impatient and we believe the lie of the enemy, then we start to doubt. Listen, God wants us to trust him. So if you find yourself impatient with the Lord, looking to take matters into your own hands, like Aaron did, him and the people, they just said, we'll just do it ourselves, means that we have room to grow in trusting God. So I want to encourage us to stay close to the voice of God and the word of God. Sometimes we trust God in the big things, and then sometimes we have trouble trusting him in the small details. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we trust him for big decisions, like, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to, with my career, I give that to him. But then all the little tiny details of life, we struggle. We're like, God, what about this? And we're stressing. We don't trust God. And then sometimes we're really good at trusting God in the little details. Others of you are like, yeah, I'm good in the little things, but I don't trust God for the big things in my life. Listen, God wants us to trust him. And I don't know if the musicians are coming, but they can come up at this time. We don't want to get ahead of God. We don't want to get impatient with God. Let God's voice speak the loudest. Trust the plan that God has for you. Trust that today he's going to order your steps. The Bible says, that it's one of my favorite proverbs, that we plan our course, but God directs our steps. So in the big picture and in the little picture, can we trust God tonight, today? So what area, I want to ask you, what area do you need to trust God in? And that's what I want us to bring before the Lord tonight. So I'm actually going to pray tonight as we close out. But before we do that, I want to do something a little different tonight. I'm actually going to ask you to turn to a couple people, and I'll tell you when we're going to do it here in just a second. I'm going to ask you, will you turn to a couple people? Don't spread out all over the room, but everybody needs to find a few people, 3-4 friends or new friends. You go, I don't even know those people. Great. Just say, what's your name? My name is... And I want you to pray over these 3 points. So we're just going to take a couple minutes as we close out tonight. And I want you to ask them, is anyone here being persuaded by others? Are you struggling with God's timing? Are you believing any lies of the enemy? And then can we pray over each other with those 3 areas? And they should be on the screen right there. Those are our 3 points, basically. So don't just talk, because I know we're good at talking. And listen, some of you right now are going, I'm not praying out loud. I already read your mind. Listen, just be encouraged. This is a sisterhood night. We're just friends in the Lord. There is no perfect prayer. You don't have to have the perfect words. God just wants us to be authentic and be real with each other. So if you would, I know we're in straight rows, but maybe turn to your neighbor. Turn around. Everybody is with somebody else in groups of 3 or 4. So let's take a couple minutes, and then I will come back up, and I will close out our time together. All right. Ready, set, go. Make sure no one's alone. Everybody has a buddy. praying. Keep praying together. Let's take another 1 minute and we'll finish up here. Thank you, Jesus. God, all over this room, we are gathered together as women. Lord, we need more of you. That's our desire tonight, is to seek after you, God. We don't want to do this on our own, God. We need your strength, your wisdom, your direction. So, Lord, I thank you for every woman that's here. God, we're gathered in groups right now. We're praying over each other. God, we're lifting one another up. God, many of us shared some things tonight. Maybe we're being persuaded by outside voices. And so, Lord, we're asking as your daughters, Lord, that we no longer are persuaded by others that are leading us away from you. But God, we want to hear the true word of God, Lord, with clarity, God. So I pray that when someone speaks something around us that's not of you, God, you will give us the discernment we need, God, to detect any lie that's not of you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you will draw us close to you, God, and that we will not be persuaded by the voice of others. Even if it sounds good, we are going to follow the peace and the promises that you've given us. And Lord, for those of us who are struggling with your timing, God, help us to wait on you. God, I pray that our heart is to be patient and wait on the Lord. God, your timing is not our timing. So God, we confess we are sorry in the times, God, that we have not allowed for you to move like you've wanted to. God, we have taken things and matters into our own hands and we've just gone ahead and done it anyways. God, we repent of that. And Lord, we ask that you will speak to us about moving at your pace, being patient, and the things that you've taught us to be patient. God, I thank you. We can bring you our request. And God, that we can listen and be still and know that you are God. And then, Lord, I pray right now that every one of us will have the mind of Christ, that we will not believe lies of the enemy. God, I just curse every attack of the enemy in Jesus' name. I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and that, Lord, we will have the mind of Christ, and we will take every thought captive. Every thought. God, we will not let things in our mind that don't belong. And if it's a lie of the enemy, we're just going to refute it in Jesus' name. And I thank you that the promises of God are yes and amen. And we're going to trust you. We are more than enough. We are more than conquerors. God, there are so many gifts and talents sitting in this room, God, that you want to use for your glory, for your kingdom. God, there are small group leaders in here. God, there are disciple makers. There are bakers. God, there are organizers, administrators. God, people, so many people, every one of us in this room, God, that you have gifts and talents and you want us to use them for your glory. And so, God, I pray that we will never believe that we are not good enough. But, God, you have created us and formed us and fashioned us with our personalities and giftings for a reason, Lord. And I just thank you. There will be a fresh confidence in every woman leaving tonight, God, that you love us. You love us and you love when we come to you with everything that's on our heart. Lord, so I thank you for this time together tonight in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Can we all stand together? I want to end on a worship song about trusting in God. You know the one that we sang just a little bit ago? The team is going to lead us. And I'm just so thankful that we're going to end our night with this. So can we all just worship the Lord together as we close out?
Cause I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, He's my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. As I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. Oh, I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God. He's my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Oh, I trust in God. He's my Savior.
Worship you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Have you been encouraged this evening? Have you been challenged in your walk with the Lord? Let's remember to evaluate what shadows we're resting in, who we're trusting in, and trust in the Lord. We're so thankful that you guys were here. We pray that you would just have a wonderful evening. Grab more snacks on the way out because they might get eaten here. I guess I shouldn't say they wouldn't get eaten here. These guys will eat them. So, but bless you guys. We love you. Have a good night.